Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon today is our first reading from Acts chapter 8. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as you have sent down your Holy Spirit on Felix this day in his baptism, so send your Spirit to us this day as we meditate on your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was growing up, especially on family holidays, my dad would often drive us down no-through roads just to see where they ended up, to see if they were, in fact, no-through roads. That was the goal. We'd usually begin with a sign, something like this, and my dad making a comment like, no-through road, we'll just see about that. There'd be a collective sigh from everyone else in the car who were thinking, oh no, here we go again. But it was amazing how often he was right. It was amazing how often you could find a way through if you really applied yourself. This morning I want us to think a bit about roads, and especially about the road of the baptized. The road or the path that leads towards baptism, and the road or the path that leads then from baptism as well. Now for some, this road to baptism can be a fairly short and simple and tranquil kind of one, like this. For others, it can involve a few more twists and turns along the way. It's not quite as straightforward. For others, the road towards baptism can be a bit more complex, right? Like navigating something like this, it can be a bit more difficult and a bit harder to get there. And for others, the road to baptism is something of a tangle, like that. Just too hard to navigate, right? I don't think it's a real photo, okay? I sometimes have people tell me, though, they're not quite sure why they were never baptized as a child. They know their parents were Christians. They know they went to a church where infant baptism was practiced and encouraged. But then something happened. Life got in the way. Things got busy. Certain personalities or issues came up. You know, Grandma Lois had a fallout with Father Ted, and that was it. We never got there, right? I hear these stories often, and it makes me think that the road to baptism can be very simple, but it also can be a bit more complex than we sometimes think. In today's reading, we hear about a very unique road to baptism, but one that has much to teach us about our own as well. And we see that this can be a hard road, but that there are things that make it a clearer road, and that ultimately it is a very joyful road, this road to and then subsequently from baptism. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, a eunuch was a man who had been castrated, right, often for the purpose of serving in a king or queen's court without the obvious temptations creeping in, right? So that's what a eunuch was. Doesn't get practiced in our day, I don't think, very much, but in those days it was quite common. So Philip meets this Ethiopian eunuch, and he meets him not just on a metaphorical road, but on a literal road, an actual road, as he's traveling from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, if you can make out the map, Jerusalem is just below the center in the highlighted section there in that road that says number 2, or the desert road is the road that sweeps around through the wilderness out to Gaza. It's called a desert road or a wilderness road. It's not a very safe road to travel these days. It certainly wasn't a safe road to travel back in those days. It's a wilderness road, a desolate road, a lonely or an uninhabited road. And the eunuch is there. He's out there on that road traveling between Jerusalem, the temple, the center of worship, and heading back home eventually to Ethiopia. In Jerusalem, the eunuch probably would have found himself very much on the outside, being from Ethiopia as he was, but also being a eunuch, that meant he was considered ritually unclean by Jewish law. That meant there were lots of activities in the temple that he wasn't invited to take part in, right? He was an outsider there in Jerusalem. What else do we know about this man? We know that he's probably quite well off. He's a court official. He's reading a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He has a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. That means he's probably quite well off. He's riding in a chariot. That means he's probably quite well off. We know that he's well educated too, because he's reading. He's reading out loud. That means he's got an education. He's a well-educated man. Well off, well-educated. But I think we can also assume that not all is well in this man's life. That the desert road or the hard road or the lonely road that he's on is not just literal, but it's also figurative. There's also a searching, a longing in this man's life, something unfulfilled, something that he's looking for. It's a hard road for the Ethiopian eunuch. It's also a hard road for Philip. Now, spare a thought for Philip, because Philip has just been plucked from this exciting and expanding work up in Samaria, and he's been told, go south, go to the middle of nowhere, and find one person. Right? One person down there I want you to meet. That's a hard road for Philip. And the person that God wants him to meet is a stranger, and it's someone who's very, very different to him. Different race, different religious background, different class, different education level, different experiences, different line of work, all sorts of differences, all sorts of barriers standing between Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch. For all Philip knew, this man was going to turn around at him and say, who are you? Why should I listen to you? Right? Running along there without a chariot. Okay? I'm the one with the scroll. Why should I listen to you? Philip didn't know what kind of reception he was going to get when he went and met this man. It was a hard road for him, a difficult road, a risky road, an unknown road for Philip also. When I think of little Felix, who's down the front talking to me still, when I think of little Felix coming here to be baptized today, I'm overjoyed, thrilled, wonderful. But part of the reason I know that's wonderful is because I know that the road to baptism is not always as simple and straightforward as we might think it is. That spiritually and practically, there's all sorts of things that need to be put in place and discussed and worked through and organized. Brianna and Justin and I met a few times and we prepared for today. We talked about baptism, what it was. They had some really good questions for me, some challenging questions that we could talk through. They had to put up with little Oscar and I distracting each other the whole time, right? There are all sorts of challenges along the way. This is all part of the road to baptism. It can be a hard road. It can be a challenging road at times. It was for Philip, was for the Ethiopian, and it can be for us as well. If baptism is the beautiful and precious and wonderful gift that the Bible describes it to be, then of course we would assume that the evil one would be working overtime to prevent it from happening, doing everything he can to stand between us and this wonderful gift of God. But we need to remember that we have some very faithful and some very powerful companions on this road as well, just as the Ethiopian man. Okay, so that's a bit about the hard road. What helps clear the road? What helps open up the road for us? The first thing we see out there on the Gaza Road is the importance of an open and honest and humble engagement with the Word of God. An open and honest and humble engagement with God's Word. The eunuch is there reading from the scroll of Isaiah. It's been said that the authority of the scriptures was a fundamental assumption for both Jewish and early Christian believers. It was a fundamental assumption that what was written there in those scrolls mattered, was of great importance, that this was God speaking, and not just speaking generally, but speaking specifically to them, specifically even to the individual, that this was God talking. So they sat up and they took notice and they listened and they asked about it and they learned from it. The Ethiopian man is reading from Scripture. That means he's reading from the Old Testament. Why? New Testament hasn't been written yet, right? So he's in the Old Testament. He's reading from the Old Testament. And as happens when we delve into Scripture and when we engage with Scripture, he finds it hard, right? He finds it difficult. He finds it confusing to get his head around. Scripture can be like that. Do you understand what you are reading? Is Philip's first question, his opening to this man. And he responds, how can I, unless someone explains it to me? Philip is open and honest with the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian is similarly open and honest with Philip. No, I don't really get it, right? Have you ever read this stuff? I don't really get it. Can you help explain it to me? Can you lead me through it? Can you be my guide? And Philip is invited into this man's chariot and into this man's confidence for an open and honest and humble and now communal engagement with the Word of God. How often don't we feel unsure about, you know, God's will or what he's saying to us or what he wants from us or our purpose in life or the path we're on? And all the while, we have this book called the Bible sitting on our shelf gathering dust. Right? God speaks. God is speaking to us through his word. God is showing us our path. The question is whether or not we're listening to his speaking. Now, the word that the Ethiopian was reading and the word that God has for us today is from Isaiah the prophet. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Who can speak of his descendants? Right? What would the Ethiopian have heard when he was reading these words? Who can speak of his descendants? A man who was humiliated. A man who was deprived of justice. You don't think he would have heard something of himself in these words? A fellow sufferer. Who is this guy? Humiliated. No descendants. Who is this guy? And that's exactly what he asks. Philip. Who is the prophet speaking about? Is he speaking about himself or is he speaking about someone else? He wants to know. He doesn't quite get it at that point. But Philip leads him from an understanding of his own situation to an understanding of the one, Jesus Christ, who the text is speaking about. The one who knows our suffering, our humiliation, our path. The one who died for our sin, our pride, our shame. The one who walks our road and our life together with us. No matter how troubled it seems, no matter how problematic it is, no matter how hard we consider it, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the road, I am the path, I am the truth, I am the life. And I'm here walking this life together with you. The hard road becomes meaningful in me. The confusing road becomes clear in me. It's what Christ says to us. In other words, when you turn over the puzzle box of Scripture, what you see is a picture of Jesus Christ. We do a lot of puzzles in our house with our boys. Not your 1,000 pieces, but your 24 or your 36. That's about my level as well, so it's good, works well. And even then, right, I rely on the picture on the back of the box. That's what's getting me there, right? I've got that picture. I can see where I'm going. I can see what it all adds up to. And that's Christ. When you turn over the puzzle box of Scripture, what you see is a picture of Jesus Christ. It all points to him. It all leads to him. It all comes to a head in him, right? There's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And then he explained to them the things concerning himself from the law and the prophets. It's all leading to him. It's all pointing to him. It's all driving us in his direction. The hard road becomes clearer in the person of Jesus Christ. It also becomes a great joy. A great joy. A joyful road. Now, assumedly at some point in this whole thing, Philip mentioned to this guy about baptism. Or maybe he asked, you know, maybe he asked, how do I join myself to this Jesus? How do I reap the benefits of this Christ? How do I unite my life to his? How do I join in his life? And maybe Philip said to him, you don't. You don't. He joins himself to you in the gift of baptism. You thought you were seeking him, but he has found you. You thought you were going to choose him, but he has already chosen you. Right on the road to Gaza. And as they traveled along that road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" What a great question, right? What can stand in my way? What can prevent it? Can my background, can my work, you know, can the social isolation, exclusions I experience, can my race, can my class, can my money, can any of this stand in my way? Can my level of understanding, my grasp of it, can my age, right? Can my sin, my shame, my problems, can anything stand in the way of me receiving this precious gift of God in the waters of holy baptism, his grace in my life? Can anything prevent it? Philip's thinking, no, I guess not. Good question, eunuch. Right? Can anything prevent this? Can anything get in the way of this? This is such a precious, wonderful thing God wants for us. And so he invites us continually and draws us continually and calls us continually to the font to receive the gift of baptism and to live in that gift each and every day. What appeared to be a hard road, a long road, a winding road, even a no-through road, right now it opens up. And now there's a path ahead. And all of a sudden, it becomes an incredibly joyful road for this man. Here is water. Here is the word of God through the mouthpiece of Philip. What can prevent it? What can stand in our way? You know, in our eyes, we come and we witness a baptism, and it seems like a very simple thing. Very straightforward thing. In God's eyes, this is a miraculous, wonderful, wonderful occasion. A wonderful day. A wonderful gift to little Felix that God has given him. His chosen means of drawing fallen humanity back to himself through water and his word. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. Why? He was forgiven. He was restored. He was renewed. He was released. He was reborn. He was redeemed. He was forever changed. He had a new perspective on his suffering. He had a new reason for his humility. He had a new direction for his service. He had a new trajectory for his life. And his heart was full of joy as a result. God has planted that same joy in your heart on your baptism day. Or if you're still heading there, he wants that gift of joy for you. His gift of joy in your life. And whether or not it's something you think about much or tap into much, it is there, he says, and it is waiting for you. Around every bend, around every corner, God's gift of joy is waiting for you, waiting to surprise you, waiting to bless you, waiting to for you to receive and to have in your life. This is not some fleeting sense of happiness that God promises, but a deep endowment of his contentment and hope for our lives, his joy. Now, the road can still be hard. The road to baptism and the road from baptism, it can still be hard. But God gives us a roadmap called his word, and he gives us a whole bunch of fellow travelers called the church to encourage us along this path. The eunuch did not see Philip again, but he went on his way rejoicing. And so can we. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gift of holy baptism, both in Felix's life and in our own. We pray that you help us when the road is hard. We pray that you clear it up for us and clarify it for us through the person, ministry, work, life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that you send us on our way rejoicing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.